Revelation chapter 12, with her Bible open, we'll ask the Lord's blessing to be upon the preaching of His Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for, Lord, even the note of praise that has risen from our hearts. We thank You we have a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And His love, Lord, which is unending to His people, it reaches us, Lord. He loves us with this everlasting love. Indeed, as it says in the hymn, love that will not let us go. We thank You for Your word. We're glad it's true. And we pray You'll be with us and You'll meet us all at the point of our need. And You'll encourage all of Your people to fight the good fight of faith. Close us in with Thyself. In Jesus' name. Amen. The text is found in Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him. And they overcame the devil. It goes on to say, of course, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The Apostle John here in this book of the Revelation, he saw two great wonders. God revealed these two great wonders to his servant. The first one is found in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And so he looked up and he saw this great wonder. It was a woman with the sun and the moon and the crowns upon her head. And then he says in verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And so he saw these two great wonders. He saw the woman, and then he said, another wonder. He saw this great red dragon. Now, if you want to find out what these are, you should read all the commentaries, because there are many, many interpretations given. What is a woman? What is the dragon? What does it all really mean? You see, H. Spurgeon said in his days that all the interpretations which have gone before, and each one seems to be very successful, and indeed improving, that all the rest know nothing at all about the matter. And when he looked at all the different interpretations, he just came to this conclusion, that everyone just destroys the other interpretation. And everyone is proven how much or how less each other really knows. But we can see without doubt in this passage, there's a great conflict taking place. And many of the interpretations say that it is a conflict between the devil and the church. And John sees these two great wonders. He sees the woman that brings forth this child, a picture of the birth of the church, a picture of people being saved. And then he sees this great dragon, and he's standing by, about to devour the child, or to devour the church. There's a great battle taking place. Now, it tells us twice in this passage about a war. You can see in verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And in verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And so there's a battle going on. There's a war in the heavens. And when he looked down on the earth, well, there's another war going on. The devil is fighting the Lord and his people. There's a war going on. There's a conflict. There is a battle. The devil is fighting. And he's fighting against Michael, and he's fighting against the angels, and he's fighting against the Lord, and he's fighting against us. He went out to make war with the seed of the woman. Now you can find over in Genesis chapter 3 of the battle with the devil in early days. And the Lord said to the serpent in Genesis 3 verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There the Lord tells about this enmity, this hostility. this hatred that's going to be between who? The seed and the devil. Christ is the seed, of course, but the seed, of course, leans also to the God's people. And here at the very beginning of the Bible, it tells us, well, there's going to be a conflict, and there's going to be a battle, and there's going to be this enmity, this hostility, this hatred between the devil and the church. Well, you can see that in the commencement of the Bible. But remember this, we're now at the end of the Bible. We're in the last book, the closing pages of time. And listen here, the conflict's still going on. The battle is still raging. The devil made war with Michael and his angels. And then the devil goes out and tells us in verse 17 to make war with the saint. The devil fights against the Lord, against his angels, and against his people. What an enemy he is. This very passage reveals something about the greatness of this enemy. You can see that in his names. In verse 3, he's referred to as a great red dragon. And when John saw this great red dragon, he saw something about his power, because he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. He talked about his tail, how his tail, just by his tail, he could cast these stars down upon the earth. In verse 15, he talked about a flood coming out of his mouth, you see. He saw something about the wickedness, about the power of this, even in the name dragon. What a powerful enemy he is. He's referred to there in verse 9 as the devil. That means the accuser. You see there in verse 9 also that he's referred to as Satan, means the accuser as well. In verse 9 he's referred to as the old serpent. You see his subtlety. He's very subtle. He's very powerful, you see. And John looked and he saw this great wonder. He saw, dear friends, this great enemy of the church. And he brings name after name to this great dragon, to the devil, to the serpent. The old serpent. He's been doing this a long time. He is very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. And John tells about the names of this enemy. That great red dragon. The devil. The serpent. Satan. That old serpent is all his names. He tells us something about his nature. He says in verse 4 that he was there, stood to devour the child. You see, the devil devours. He says in verse 12 it tells about his great wrath. In verse 17 it says, and the dragon was wroth. In verse 17 it says that he makes war. And so he is one then who is evil. He is the great destroyer. He is the dragon. Indeed in verse 9 it says, he deceiveth the whole world. He is a deceiver. And the old devil is deceiving many people today in relation to salvation. And how can I get right with God? And how can I be saved? And the old devil, well, he deceiveth the whole world. Just look around the world today. You see, people bow down before idols. Don't know Christ. What is wrong with them? The devil has deceived them. He has deceived the whole world. And also, in verse 7 says that he fought, he fights. My dear friends, you see, we have a very, very powerful and we have a very, very wicked enemy. He is evil and he is wicked in his nature. And the certainty of this conflict is brought out for us in verse 17. And the devil was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. He went forth to make war with who? With you. With you and I who saved. He went forth to make war with them who obey the commandments and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the authority of the Bible, we are in a conflict. We are in a fight. The certainty of this conflict, he went forth to make war with God's people. And you can see something of that even in the passage. When I said to you, child of God, this morning, we're in a conflict. fight the good fight. We have an enemy. He's powerful. He's wicked. He's evil. He's invisible. We can't see him. He comes raging against us. He comes to devour us. And he comes to fight us. And John, he saw this great wonder, this great red dragon, this great enemy of the church, coming to devour the people of God. But the great lesson was this. They overcame him. The saints of God on one side, this great enemy on the other side. And here it was, coming to fight, coming to come together. And here's what John saw. He saw this great wonder was this. The saints of God beat the devil. They overcame him. Isn't that amazing? Despite that he was like a dragon, he had power, he was vicious, he was evil, he had hatred, he could fight with the angels, and when he came to fight the people of God, the remarkable thing was this. They overcame him. The saints of God beat the devil in this fight. That word overcome is translated in the Bible in different ways. Our Lord Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I have overcome the world. That's the same word. Indeed, in Revelation 6 and verse 2, it talks about the opening of the seals. And it says there, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him, and a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now he's talking about Christ coming back here. And he went forth to do this. Conquering and to conquer. That's the same Greek word. As these saints, they overcame him. That's what John is saying. They conquered him. The old devil came against them, but here were the saints of God, and they conquered them, and they went forth to conquer. They conquered the devil. And you find that word in Revelation 15, verse 2. It says, have gotten the victory over the beast. Do you see that word victory? It's the same word. Overcame. They got the victory. Oh, friends, they got the victory. The old devil came raging and all his wrath against the people of God, but they got the victory. They conquered them. And they beat them. You see, the note of victory is in our text here that we read together. They overcame them. It says there in Revelation 12 and verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto death. They got the victory. Now I want to look at these Christians in the victory, how they got the victory. In their victory, I see this. The covering of the blood. That's the first weapon they had. How did they face this dragon? How did they face the devil, friends? How did they get their victory? How did they conquer him? He said this. Here's how they did it. They did it by the blood of the Lamb. That's how they did it. They had the blood, you see. Of course, the blood of a lamb is no one else's blood but Christ. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, and all upon the earth, dwell upon the earth, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is the blood of Christ. Christ had died for this people in the conflict. The Lord Jesus had shed his blood for them. He had redeemed them by his precious blood. And therefore, this was the blood that they fought with. This was the secret of their strength, you see. They fought against a dragon with the blood. Do we not sing that great hymn? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And here's the devil coming to fight God's people. And hear what their weapon is. One of their weapons. The blood. They had the blood of a lamb, friends. You see, the covering of the blood. They overcame the devil with the blood in relation to their souls. You see, these people were once held by the devil. They were once chained to Satan. They once obeyed his voice. They once did his will. They once walked in his ways. They once followed him into wickedness and to sin, you see. But now, you see, they were set free from the clutches of the devil. They were now free from their burden of sin. They were now at liberty to walk with Christ. Well, how did this happen? How was this done in their lives? Was by the blood. It was the blood that set them free. In Revelation 5 and verse 9 it says, much more then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, you see. You see, the day they repented, and the day those people trusted Christ, their souls were saved. They were redeemed by the precious blood. And so when these men stood against the devil, they knew they were safe. They knew their soul was saved. They knew that Christ had died. They knew that they were covered by the blood. And therefore, in relation to their souls, you see, dear friends, they got the victory. They got the victory by the devil, by the blood. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You can't take the blood, dear friends, can I say it to you, out of the Bible. We are saved and we've got the victory over the devil through the blood. That's how we get the victory over Satan in relation to our souls. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And friends, this is how they got the victory. They had the blood in relation to their souls. And I can say, can I just say to those who's not saved, you have never got this victory. The devil still holds you in the palm of his hands. The devil still leads you astray. He still leads you into sin. He still leads you away from God. And you've never got this victory. The devil still leads you on that road that leads to hell. You need the blood. And you need to come to Christ. And you need to turn from your sins. And then you'll get the victory. The victory, friends, is in the blood. Someone has said, morality may keep you out of jail, but it will take the blood of Christ to keep you out of hell. They got the victory by the blood. And child of God, we're glad today that we got the victory in the relation to our souls by the blood of Christ. I know in this conflict, oh, we can look at the devil, we can see his viciousness, we can see how powerful, we can see how evil, we can see how wicked he is. But he's no match for us, because we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. In relation to their souls, they got the victory. In relation to their sins, the blood gave them victory over their sins. Now, I would say, like every child of God, how often they fail. How often they sinned in the battle. How often they failed the Christ that loved them. And I no doubt these people that John saw, there were times they were full of guilt. And there were times they were filled with shame. And there were times they would have cried out like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. But they got the victory. Even when they fell. Even, friends, when they failed in this battle and in their lives. How did they get the victory? The blood. That's how they got the blood, the victory. In Revelations 1 and the verse 5, that well-known text, the end part of it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, there's the victory. That was the song of this people. This was how this people got the victory over their sins, the blood. And when they fell, they fell down before Christ and they claimed cleansing in the blood. Because does the Bible not say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see in verse 10, notice it says, he's accuser what? Of the brethren. He accuses them. No doubt the devil, well, he saw their failures. He saw how they had failed the Lord. And he accused them. The accuser of the brethren. And he says, well, you're some Christian. Look what you have done. Look what you have said. Look how you have failed the Lord. He accused them. But how did they get the victory? The blood. You see, they pointed the devil to the blood. You see, the blood of Christ, friends. It cleansed the damned from all sin. Yes, I have failed. Yes, I have sinned. But the blood of the Lord Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. Over there in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 33 and verse 34, speaking about the eternal security of God's people. And he said in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And then it says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Now you see what the Apostle Paul is doing. Right away, he kicks into the blood. Who should lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is going to condemn them? The devil says, well, I'll condemn them. I'll accuse them. And then he says in the next bit, but it is Christ that died. Right to the blood. You see, friends, they got the victory through the blood. It was Christ that has died, you see. It is said of Martin Luther that one time during a serious illness, and it probably is only a legend, but it is said of him, that the evil one entered into the sick room. And he opened up this big roll, and on it was all the sins that Martin Luther had committed. And as he looked upon them, he felt terrible. A fear gripped his heart and ended his mind. And then he cried aloud, it is recorded. Martin Luther said to Satan, one thing you have forgotten. The rest is all true. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You better write that on the roll, you see. And while the devil attacked him, while the devil came and accused him, oh, Luther says the blood. I'll point you to the blood. And maybe, child of God, you feel, I have failed the Lord. I have sinned against God. I have brought shame into my life, into my heart, and to my testimony for Christ. Listen, point to the blood. You'll get victory through the blood, you see. And these men got the victory over the devil in relation to their sins. Always remember the blood. The blood hath made an atonement for our souls. And also in their supplications, they got the victory. Now, I have no doubt, like any other child of God, that the people that John is speaking about, many times going to pray, they felt their unworthiness. They felt their uncleanness. They felt, how can I pray? How can I come face to face with a holy God? And I'm sure, child of God, you felt like that many times. Coming to pray in the prayer meeting. Praying even in your own home. You say, how can I pray? I feel so unclean. I feel so unworthy. Going to pray unto our Father which are in heaven. And sometimes the devil would suggest, well, the door of heaven, it's closed to you. And the old devil says to God's people, well, you're unable to approach the throne of grace. He comes and to stop and to hinder the people of God in the place of prayer. No doubt he did it to these people. But how did they get the victory? They overcame him. They overcame him through what? The blood of the Lamb. You see, friends, there's a wonderful text in John 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. That's all they had. Now, can you see the picture that John is showing us here? The devil, the great dragon, on one side, the people of God on the other side, and they're fighting. And here's one of the weapons. Here's one of the weapons they have, the blood. That's all they have. And they can enter into the holies of all through the blood of Jesus. Yes, I can pray, Satan. I can go and meet with my God. I can go into the throne of grace. I can go in with boldness, even into the holies of all. Why? Because of the blood. Oh, child of God, can I say to you, you'll get the victory in the place of prayer through the blood. Nothing else. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. The answer is in the blood, you see. You can approach God. You can't come to the mercy seat. Why? Because of the blood. They got the victory through the blood of the Lamb, you see. And I'm glad today we can get the victory, the blood. Always go to the blood. Always claim the blood. Always ask for the covering of the blood. When Satan rages against you, when Satan tempts you to fall into sin, when Satan suggests you cannot pray, you cannot go in to meet with God, claim the blood, perhaps. Claim the blood of Christ, you see. There was a covering of the blood in their victory. But then there was something else in their victory. I believe there was a confession of the book, because he said here, and they overcame him. They got their victory over the devil, over him, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, their testimony, the word of their testimony, refers to the word of God. They overcame them by their testimony, which was the word of God. And the theme of their confession is found in verse 17, as you'll see. Because the devil went forth to make war with the seed, which keep the commandments of God and have what? The testimony of what? Jesus Christ. Friends, it wasn't their testimony that got the victory. You see, it was the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what they fought against the devil. The theme, they overcame him with the testimony of Christ. And they told about Christ and how Christ came into this world and how he went to the cross and how he shed his blood and how he rose again from the dead and now he's in glory. And they talked about his love, his mercy, his coming again and all his promises. You see, the testimony was of Christ. That was the theme of their testimony. That's all they had. The Bible. The testimony of their confession, friends, was of Jesus Christ. And they told of Christ. And they confessed of Christ to the Satan. We have got a Savior. We have got one who's loved us. We have got one who's died for us. We have got one who's praying for us. We have got one who's coming for us. That was their testimony. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Friends, they brought Christ into conflict. They testified of Christ, you see. And in the battle, friends, I want to say to you, we're glad we have the Bible. The testimony of Christ. Remind yourself of the testimony of Christ. Remind yourself of His love, of His mercy, of His promises, of His grace, of His blessings, of His promise, everything. Remind yourself of all that He has done for you. Remind yourself, friends, of what He is doing for you and what He is going to do for you. You see, the words of the testimony. Does the Bible not say that the scriptures are the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Do you see these Christians going to fight this great dragon, the devil, and they've got the blood, and they've got the sword, they've got the word of God, and here they're going to fight, but they got the victory. They got the victory over Satan, you see, with this confession of the book, the word of their testimony, because the truth of this confession, they realized what they had was the truth. It was not fables. It wasn't drawn up, friends, by man. They believed that what they had was the truth. The word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. And they believe this weapon, the word, the testimony of Christ. Well, it's the truth, you see. And how did they get the victory? Because the devil's a father of lies. The Lord Jesus now saith Satan that he's a liar. He tells lies. And so when these Christians, these saints in this great conflict, when they held up the truth, when they held up the devil, held up the sword to the devil couldn't stand. He had to flee, friends. Because they had the word of the testimony. Are you glad today, child of God, you believe the Bible is true? Thy word is true. Every word of it is true. I'm glad I believe in a church, I belong to a church that believes that the whole Bible is true. That we don't go through and pick out this part and that part and another part. But we believe all the Bible has been given to us by inspiration of God. And friends, it is truth. But if you don't believe this Bible is true, you'll not be able to stand. What are you going to stand on? What are you going to fight the devil with? If you do not believe that this Bible is true and is God's word, how are you going to fight the devil? You have nothing to fight with. But these men believed the testimony. They believed the word was true, and friends, they fought. And they prevailed and got the victory. Indeed, their testimony and their confession, because they were not silent Christians, no doubt about that. They proclaimed the book. I believe that. They preached the gospel boldly. And when they did this, souls were being saved and Satan's kingdom was being destroyed. They overcame him. The devil was holding people in the clutches of his hand and these men went out and preached. The blood. And they preach salvation through the blood of the Lamb. And they preach to people about Christ. And when Christ was preached, great things were being was happening. And souls were being saved. And Satan's kingdom was being destroyed. You see, they overcame them with their testimony. The confession. They preached. Not enough, friends, just to know the truth. We've got to proclaim the truth. How is Satan going to be overthrown in this town? How? By preaching Christ. How is people going to be delivered from sin and saved from hell? Preaching the Word of God, you see. Oh, we read in the Bible about the apostles. It was said of them that they turned the world upside down. Well, how did they do it? By preaching, by fighting Satan with the book, with the word of their testimony. That's how we're going to do it. They got the victory, friends. And the triumph of their confession, because it says they overcame them. Listen, by the word of their testimony. By the Bible. By their confession. And you think of Christ when he fought Satan in Matthew 4 and verse 7. And he said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And you can read how Christ quoted the book. And he said to Satan, it is written. Christ had the same conflict. And he had the same battle. And when Satan came against him, Christ fought with the word. He said, well, it is written. It is written. And he got the victory. And dear friends, that's how we get the victory. By the covering of the blood and by the confession of the book. We've got to fight with the Bible. We've got to remind ourselves of the word. We've got to quote the word of God. We've got to preach the word of God. We've got to believe the word of God. We've got to stand on the promises of God, you see. And they got the victory. Why? By the word of their testimony. I'm glad the Bible gives us the victory. I'm glad we've got a great weapon that even the great dragon cannot stand against. And it's great, friends, you do door-to-door work. It's great when you meet people, quote the Bible. They cannot come against us. They cannot get the victory. The Bible defeats them time and time and time again, you see. By the word of their testimony. They got the victory. So will we. And that's how you'll get the victory. By the Bible. Leaning on the promise, believing the Bible, quoting the Bible, preaching the Bible. Can I say lastly, in the victory, I see something else. I see the commitment of the believers. Because you see, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Oh, friends, do you see the commitment of these believers in the victory? They were committed. Dear friends, their denial. They loved not their lives. I'm sure they could have took it easy. I'm sure they could have said, well, we'll enjoy the things, the possessions of the world. But oh no, in this battle, they loved not their lives. There was their denial. They turned their back on all the comforts and all the things that would have took them away from Christ. And here the Lord Jesus says in Luke 14 verse 33, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. There has to be this turning away from certain things. And here were men, dear friends, their denial. They loved not their lives, you see, and their devotion. They loved Christ. They loved not their lives. But I tell you this, they loved Christ. They were totally surrendered to Christ. Yes, there was this conflict and this battle, but they had this wonderful and they had this great Savior. And their whole lives was given unto Christ, every bit of it. They were devoted to Christ. Devoted to His cause. They got the victory. They weren't half-hearted in the battle. Maybe you're experiencing defeat in the Christian life. Why? Because you're half-hearted. Not wholly committed. Not like Caleb says, he wholly followed the Lord. These men were wholehearted Christians. Loved not their lives, but they loved the Lord. And there they are, soldiers of Christ, getting the victory. It even refers to unto death, they loved not their lives. On to the death, friends. Put to death for the faith. I was in the town of Lewis where many were put to death years ago for the faith. Taken to the stake and tied to the stake, friends. Then the fire arising around you.
consumed to ashes in the flames. They loved not their lives unto death. They got the victory right to the end, you see. Oh, you can burn me. You can take me. You can destroy me. But we've got the victory. We're going home to heaven. And here were these men that got the victory. I'm glad I'm on victory's side, friends. I'm on the Lord's side. And even more important, the Lord's on our side. And we'll get the victory. We'll overcome them by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But let's commit ourselves to Christ. Let's dedicate ourselves to Christ. Let's be devoted. Let's love Christ. Let's put away the things in our life that would keep us away from Christ, that would even hinder the victory. We must be devoted. We must be committed to the cause for Christ. Here were men, and they overcame him, he said. I think this is the third wonder. He didn't say this. He talked about two wonders. I think it's the third. They overcame him. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. Oh, friends, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We can get the victory over Satan. Sometimes Satan comes, we feel, well, we're going to lose everything. All our possessions, everything, our testimony, everything. Listen, we'll win everything. Because we've got the Lord, the blood, and the book. That's the weapons. That's the weapons to fight. That's the weapons to take a stand for Christ. And these men proved that John saw that they're victorious. They got the victory by the blood and by the book. But God gave us all the victory in our personal lives, every one of us, that will overcome Satan by the blood and the book and be committed unto Christ. Maybe you're not saved. No commitment at all. The devil, as I said earlier on, is still controlling your life, still leading you towards hell. Now today God will give you the victory. And today you'll turn from your sin and come to Christ and be a soldier of the Lord. And then one day you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank You for the message that's found in this passage. And Lord, while we have a great enemy, we're glad there's a great victory. We're glad we have great weapons. We've got the blood and the book. And yet we realize we had to be committed to the cause and take a stand for Christ. And I pray all Your people will be encouraged to take that stand and to realize that, as it says in Thy word, resist the devil and he will flee from You. We're glad we have You with us, Lord. We have a tremendous and a great Savior, the captain of our salvation, that giveth us the victory. Write Your word upon the hearts of Your people. Remember those especially who's not saved. We pray You bring them to Christ. Be with us now and take our separate ways to our homes in safety, and bring us back again tonight to the gospel service to preach Christ and Him crucified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.